All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're taking a look at Artemis Fowl, which was a movie that was slated to come out into the movie theaters, but because of the current crisis, has now come to Disney Plus, and probably rightfully so. It is directed by Kenneth Branagh, who has brought you such classics as the first Thor movie, terrible movies such as Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit and Murder on the Orient Express. Keith and I have a very, very intimate memory of Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, that movie was freaking...
We fell asleep. But
twice.
The writers are Connor McPherson and Hamish McColl. So Connor McPherson has done nothing other than TV, and Hamish McColl has only done a whole bunch of Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson movies. So you have the director of critically panned Murder on the Orient Express, someone that hasn't really done crap, and then someone who has only done, there might be one or two good Rowan Atkinson movies ever. The synopsis is Artemis Fowl, a young criminal prodigy, hunts down a secret society to find his missing father. So, nevertheless, the movie just starts off with a whole bunch of news vans in front of a castle in Ireland. Then there's one character that shows up that says that he knows some stuff, and I guess he gets arrested, and then he gets interrogated, but then it starts going into the lead character, Artemis Fowl's life, that his mother's passed away, his father, I guess if you take this into account, like Tomb Raider, his father's always going on adventures, looking for different treasures and stuff, and he's just home by himself, but he's kind of a savant, but also arrogant at the same time. What happens is that father's played by Colin Farrell, who plays Artemis Fowl Sr., and there's this whole bonding situation where he finds out that his father's leaving. He's just like, yeah, I just really want you around, Dad. I miss you so much. We'll spend time when I get back. What occurs after that? His father technically goes missing. They said that his helicopter crashed somewhere in Asia, and they can't find him. Leads Artemis Fowl to believe that his father's not dead, and that he gets a mysterious phone call from a raspy voice, which there are so many raspy voices in this movie. He finds out that his father is still alive, but his father might be being held by some supernatural creatures. But because his father's missing, it just kind of takes him on this wild goose chase about trying to find things. And he also has a person named Butler. His last name is Butler, but he's not, like, whatever you want to call it. I guess they try to make it sound cool. So Keith is the bookworm of the Beast Game Podcast. Second of all, Keith likes a lot of fantasy-esque books. You read these books, right?
I read the first book.
All right, so I guess there's this whole thing about people that wrote and directed and created the movie, Disney, trying to put a whole bunch of into one single movie. Keith, what did you think?
Looking at it from just the movie aspect, it's like the film itself, the shit is a hot mess. It's got crappy writing. The acting's terrible. The directing is terrible. I didn't even know what was going on half the time. Even though he didn't use shaky cam or anything like that, there was a scene where they were at the house with the whole time dilation diluters. I had no idea what the heck was going on with that. It was just a bunch of special effects going around and people were screaming on the camera. Everyone phoned it in. And then the problem was they took everything too damn seriously. So Artemis Fowl, originally in the books, it was a heist story. Artemis is not a hero looking for his dad. He's a criminal mastermind. He's basically earning money because his father's disappeared. He's the only breadwinner. His mother's sick. And in order to pay for her medicine, Artemis discovered the fairies on his own, you know, because he is the super genius. He's invented a lot of things. And the only thing he can think of that would help his mother is money to rebuild his family fortune. And the best way to get this family fortune is to get the fairy gold that's out there. One never-ending heist of him one-upping and trying to stop the Holly Short and whatever to get his hands on all the fairy treasure so he can pay for it so his mother can get better. And he's got no morals. He's essentially a young Tony Stark, the smartest guy in the room. Butler is just known as Butler. He's not given a name. That's his name is Butler there. And Butler worked for the family, and that was it. Barring that, they just kind of twisted everything about the character. And all the exposition they did, having that dwarf Gigantus, Bud McDuggis, whatever that dude's name was, Josh Gad's character, all the talking that he was doing, talking about all the stuff.
Yeah, it was all just ridiculous. So again, I said something about the raspy voices, which also contribute to some of the bad acting world-renowned Judi Dench somehow made her way into this movie, also speaking in that raspy voice. I'm like,
that's because Kenneth Branagh was directing it. For whatever reason, the guy is literally hit or miss. His problem is he takes himself and what he does way too seriously. And I just realized that while we were talking. He took Thor way too seriously. I've looked at Thor as like a Shakespearean epic of family proportions. I'm like, no. And then I looked at what was done in Thor Ragnarok. And I'm like, I clearly like the Thor who doesn't take himself too seriously, because a space god is not someone you can really take seriously. That's exactly what happened here. He took himself way too seriously. The idea probably to him of a 12-year-old mastermind out to steal fairy gold, get his mother help, and to rebuild his family fortune, and this basically to prove that he was smarter than the fairies, was too ridiculous for him to do. So he put in his whole subplot with the dad, him trying to save his father's life, and put in even a more ridiculous subplot of a magical glowing rotating acorn as the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
For them to get it. It was terrible. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to talk anymore about it. My throat hurts.
This movie took me 5 attempts to finish it. The movie's only an hour and a half. I stopped maybe 15 minutes into it, which really starts the journey of Artemis Fowl figuring out that his father's still alive. And that's why I stopped. And then I tried to watch it again. And then it starts going into this whole, the fairy side of things, Leprechaun and all this other wackiness. And then I stopped.
It was like one of those bad Disney TV shows.
Yeah. And again, this was supposed to have a wide release. I think this was supposed to come out maybe like April.
This was about, not now, no. This was been out. It was supposed to open up the summer. Like, I don't know what they were thinking about. This movie would have bombed so hard.
Yeah.
They'd have been embarrassed.
There's talent in the movie. Colin Farrell is an okay actor. He has had an okay career. Judi Dench, well-respected actress. Josh Gad is hit or miss. He's okay in some stuff and not okay in other stuff. Why does this exist? Is it just because you bought the rights to it and you know you have to make something? And that's what, kind exactly of what it felt like. And I think the time has come for a lot of these young adult novels. I mean, you spent pretty much 2010s with different iterations of young adult novels. I mean, right. It kind of really started with Chronicles of Narnia and like things like the Golden Compass, like leaving the 2000s, 2010s. But then 2010s, you have Hunger Games, things like Divergent, Maze Runner. But this is worse than Percy Jackson's Sea of Monsters. This movie is not entertaining, nonsensical, and not worth anybody's time. And this is on Disney Plus. So you have a chance to watch it, but don't. Don't even spend the time to even look and read the synopsis for it, because it's just that bad. And it's not just the Beast Gang that thinks it's bad. Other critics were like, what the heck is this movie? And what was Disney thinking? Because I don't know. So Keith, what score would you give?
0.
Okay. That solves that problem. I'm giving it a 0 too. So
I can't recommend this movie in any way, shape, or form. 0 is reserved for something that has absolutely zero redeeming value whatsoever. There's no reason for it to exist. Some movies, and you know me, there are movies I like that I will admit are bad, but I will still give a score to and say it's at least worth a look-see. Suicide Squad. Some of the special effects are good. I like Jared Leto's The Joker. There you go. I'll take the hits. There's some things I like in that movie. It's a shitty movie, but it's still some things to look at it. For a 0, I reserve that for some truly shit. For true shit.
Oh, no, it is.
Murder on the Orient Express. 0s. Absolute trash. I don't get all bent out of shape about what's different between a book and a movie and stuff, but this was bad. I mean, what the heck was he thinking? You know, Kenneth Branagh takes himself way too fucking seriously. He needs to, like, chill the fuck out, man. Realize that, dude, you direct. You direct fucking movies. And you just directed a movie for Disney that made its money off of a talking mouse and talking ducks. And that's the Beast Game Podcast.
And Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is also directed by
Kenneth. Oh, geez. Yeah, that movie was terrible, too.
Oh, boy. Again, I'm giving it a 0. I'm calling this movie, instead of Artemis Fowl, Atrocious Fowl, because that's what it is. It's a terrible movie. Should not watch it. And when there's a consensus on 0, you know something is wrong with this movie. And as he said, that's the Beast Game Podcast.